Today's shir is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Tes, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Ches Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. As we learned in the previous shir, Shem, the son of Noach, met up with Eliezer. And when they met, as we learned at the end of the previous shir, Eliezer asked Shem, "What happened when you were in the teva?" Today we have Shem. We begin our shir with Shem asking a question to Eliezer. Amr Rav Chana bar Levoy, Amr Shem Rabbi Eliezer. Shem inquired of Eliezer, "Kios aleichem malchim mizrachim arav?" When Avram Avinu, as we know, was in battle between against the four kings, when we had the four nations attacking the five nations, and as the pasuk says, "V'yorach es chanichov," because the pasuk says that he took an army of 318 people, but 318 is the gematria of Eliezer. So Eliezer and Avram held battle together against those nations, and asked Shem to Eliezer, "When you had this war and it was just the two of you, Aten Heichan Avidatu, what did you do?" Amalei, so Eliezer told Shem, "Ais HaKadosh Baruch Avram, HaKadosh Baruch brought to Avram Avinu for Oisra Mimine, and he placed Avram Avinu to the right Kaviyochel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Vavashadina Afra, when we would throw sand at the enemy, Vavacharbi, it would turn into swords. Gili, when we would throw straw at the enemy, Vavagiri, it would turn into arrows. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, L'David Mizman Num Hashem L'Adoini Shev Limini, sit to the right of Hashem, Ad Oshis Oivecha Hadoim L'Raglecha, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps you overcome your enemy. V'ksiv, and the pasuk furthermore says, Miheir Mimizrach Tzedek Yikru'eyu L'Ragloi, Avram Avinu, who brought Stoka to the world, was helped by Hashem. Yitin Lefon of Goyim U'mamlochim Yerid, he gave him the ability to dominate over the nations and over the kings. Yitain ka'ofer karboy v'kashtay nidav k'kash nidav kashtay, he made his sword like dirt and his bow should be like straw. The Farshim actually indicate that there is a machloikis exactly what happened. Some of the opinion that it was, as our Gemara seems to teach us, that it was Avram Avinu's earth and it was Avram Avinu's straw that turned into swords and arrows to fight the enemy. Others say that it was the other way around. It was the enemy's swords. It was the enemy's swords and arrows that were thrown at Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu was able to, that turned, they threw these things at Avram Avinu, and they turned into earth and straw. And others say that actually both happened in that war. Says the Gemara, Nochem Ish Gamzu, there was the great individual Nochem Ish Gamzu. Why was he called Nochem Ish Gamzu? Some explain that he came from the city called Gamzu, and others say, as we will see, learn in the Gemara in a moment, that Nochem Ish Gamzu was an individual that would always say Gamzu L'Toyva. The called Avasalkale, whatever would happen to him, Omar, he would say Gamzu L'Toyva. He would always say Gamzu L'Toyva. Says the Gemara, Yoim Echad, Bo Yisrael Ishtori Dorin L'Kesar. One time they had to send a gift to the king. Omri, and they said, Bahadi Man Nishdar, who's the right person to send the gift with? And they decided, Nishdar, that they should send the gift, Bahadi Nochem Ish Gamzu, with Nochem Ish Gamzu. And as the Mefarshim explained, obviously it wasn't just that they sent the gift because they wanted to send the gift to the king. Obviously there was a decree against the Jews, and they were sending a gift to hope that by giving the gift, the king would overturn that terrible decree. And Nochem Ish Gamzu, they decided, was the right person to go. The Malumba Ben Nissenhu. Nochem Ish Gamzu is a person that is common, that Nisim should happen to him. Kimat Alehu Diyor, when he came to a certain hotel, Baal Amevis, We wanted to stay overnight in that hotel. Amrilay and the people who were in the hotel asked them, "My ikba hadoch, what do you have with you?" Amrilay, so he responded to them, "Kumvil nekargal kaiser, I'm carrying a gift to the king." Kumvilayla, so they got up at night. Sharina lesefte, they opened up the box that he was carrying the gift in. Vishakl called avagabei, and they took out everything that was in the box. Umelinul afra, and they filled it up with dirt. Kimotel hasam. Now when Nachum Ishkamzu gets to the king's palace, Ishtakach afra, he discovers that it's full of earth. Machlokes amongst the mepharshim, was Nachum Ishkamzu aware of what had happened, and he still went? That some mepharshim say. Other mepharshim say that certainly had Nachum Ishkamzu been aware of what happened, he certainly wouldn't have gone to the king's palace with a box full of dirt. Just he didn't know about it, and he only discovered it when he got there. Actually, perhaps this machloikis is based on another question, on how do we understand this statement, this famous statement that Nochem Ishkamzu, that we're all supposed to say, that we're always supposed to say Gamzu L'Toiva. How are we to understand that statement? Are we to understand the statement that a person is supposed to always accept what Hashem does? Or does it even really mean more? Does Gamzu L'Toiva perhaps mean that what we think is bad really is good? According to the first pshat, that's Gamzu L'Toiva, that we're supposed to accept what happens, but certainly if we're aware that something bad happened, when we're supposed to know and act accordingly. And therefore, had Nochem Ishkamzu been aware, he would have never have gone. The second approach, however, feels it's much more than that. They hold, that approach seems to hold that Nochem Ishkamzu felt that what we think is bad is really good. And that's why he had no problem going to the king with a box full of earth. So Kimotel Hossam, he gets to the king's house, and Ishtaka Chafra, and the box is full of dirt. Omer, the king got angry, and he said, "Chuki kam echayki biyudoi, the Jews are mocking me, they bring me dirt." Afukil Mikdali, and Nochem Ishkamzu was taken out to be killed. Omer, and what as was his custom, he says, "Gamzu L'Toiva." Asaliyo came, vidm l'kechad minayu, and he disguised himself like he was one of the Roman officials there. Amalhu, and he said to them, "Dilmahai afram afram davram avinuhu." Perhaps this dirt is the same dirt that we learned was the dirt of Avram Avinu, that as we learned, davishod afro, when he would throw dirt, havacharbi would turn into swords. A gili, when he threw straw, have a giri, they turned into arrows. Botka, and so they indeed tested the dirt, vishkuchu hochi, and they discovered that that was indeed the case with this dirt. Have a mechuz, there was a certain place, that they were in battle with this place for a long time, and they were unable to conquer that place. Shodimahu afralei, they threw from that earth on that place, the kafshu, and they finally were able to conquer it. So now they took Nochem Ishkamzu into the treasure vault, Amri, and they said to him, "Shkoil the nichloch, take anything that you want." Malia sifted the hava, so he filled up the box with gold, and his thinking was that the money that the Jews had originally spent on sending a gift to the king, now they'll be able to get back that money without any loss. Kihada asa. When he comes now back home to that hotel, Amlachana de Yura, the people who were in the hotel, asked him, "My Amtus Labaya Malka, what happened when you were in the king's palace?" Amlahu, so he responded, "Exactly what happened. Ma'adi Shokli Mahachi Amti Lahosim, exactly what I took from here is what I delivered there." Shokli Inu, so they went and they thought that they have some sort of magic dirt in their backyard, and they went and they took that dirt to the king's palace. Amtul Hassam, and they came to the king's palace. Katlina Lahanach Deyure, and of course that dirt was useless, and the king obviously was angry that they were mocking him, that they brought him this dirt that was meaningless, that was totally useless, and they were killed. We learned in the Mishnah that the Dar HaFloga Elam Chelik Loim Haba. Ask the Gemara, my Ovid, exactly what did the Dar HaFloga do that they deserved this terrible punishment and they don't have a share in Olam Haba? Amrit Be'er Shila. They said, Nivna Migdal, let's build a tower for Na'ala Rukia, and we'll go up to the sky for Naka Oysaber Kadumis, and we'll strike the sky with axes, Kadeshi Zoiva Maimav, in order that the water should come out. Most Mepharshim explain what they were intending to do. This was a reaction of what happened to the Mabel, and they felt that the reason the Mabel came was because there was an overabundance of water in the heavens, and that's why they wanted to drain the heavens of water, that it should no longer be affected, that they should no longer be able to bring a Mabel. That's one pshat I saw. Another pshat is that they didn't want to believe in God. So what they did was, how do we know Hashem? One of the things that is completely under the control of Hashem, it is Hashem who controls when it should rain. So what they did was, they said that we'll control the rain, and we'll go up to heaven and we'll control the rain. So when this pshat was said in Eretz Yisrael, it was laughed at, for they said, Im Kain, if that was what their intent was, Lifna Achad Betura, then if they want to be closer to the heavens, they should have built the tower on top of a mountain, not in a valley. Or Rabbi Yirmi Ba'azel, rather Rabbi Yirmi Ba'alaz explains, Nechlekul Shloisha Kitas. There were three groups at that time. Achas Ameris, one group said, Na'al V'Neshav Sham, we should go to the top of the tower, and that's where we should be, because it's safer on top of the tower. V'Achas Ameris, another group said, Naila V'Navar Avodas Kechavim, we should go and worship Avodah Zarah. And it was because it was common, as we have learned, that Avodah Zarah should be put on a high place, and that's why they wanted to build a place for Avodah Zarah. V'Achas Ameris, Na'ala V'Nasa Mechama, let's go up and hold war against Hashem. Says the Gemara, Zusha Meris Na'ala V'Neshav Sham, the group that said that let's be there, let's stay there, Hafitzim Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was spread them around the world, and not that they should have the security of living in that place. And as the Mashal explains, because as we have so many times said, the punishments are always Mida Kenega Mida. Zusha Meris Na'al V'Nasa Mechama Nasa Kupim V'Ruchas V'Shedim V'Lilim, the one that wanted, so to speak, whole battle. So we know that against Hashem, Kaviyachal, we know that the person is created with its Tzelem Elokim. Since they wanted a whole battle against Hashem, they lost their Tzelem Elokim. They were turned into apes and different Shadim and Lilin. Siv Hacha, and the group that wanted to worship Avodah Zarah said their punishment was Kisham Bal Hashem Ksvas Kol Haaretz. They couldn't have a single religion anymore because they didn't speak anymore the same language. Farshim point out that here we have these groups that they wanted to, they want, that the Gemara here says that they turned into monkeys. So I saw that the Mepharshim point out our Gemara is a proof actually just to the opposite of evolution. Because unfortunately we know evolution says that a man evolved from an ape, whereas our Gemara says that just the opposite happened. That originally there were people and the people turned into apes. And in fact, I saw that the Mepharshim make a very interesting observation. The Gemara says in Masechet Brachos that if somebody specifically sees a pill or a kaif, an elephant or an ape, he makes the bracha of Mishana HaBrius. The Mepharshim ask, why does the Gemara specify these two these two animals. So Farshim explained that these two animals were the animals. It's not the Gears of Agamar, because Agamar only speaks about the apes. But apparently their Gears was that these two animals are the animals that the people in the Dor HaFloga were turned into. And therefore, the bracha of Mishana HaBrius is most appropriate, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishana. He transformed them from being people into being Kaifim Upilim. And that's why the Mefarshim will go on to say that specifically these two animals, Kaifim, monkeys, we know very many times try to imitate people, and elephants are considered the animal with a very high level of intelligence, similar to the human being, most appropriate because, as Al Gemara indicates, they evolved from human beings. Furthermore, there's a phenomenal Rabbi Yonis and Eipschitz. Rabbi Yonis and Eipschitz indicates that when the Gemara here says that these people wanted to build a tower and go up to Shemayim, Rabbi Yonis and Eipschitz, who lived hundreds of years ago, says what actually what they wanted to do, he says, was build a rocket and go up to the moon and live in the moon, on the moon. For they were concerned after the Mabel that the world was almost virtually destroyed. After the Mabel, where the world was almost virtually destroyed, they were concerned that this would happen again. So he figured the safest thing to do is go somewhere else, live on the moon, which was safer than living on the earth. So the Farshim asked an obvious question. Al Gemara just explained what was the sin of the Dor HaFloga. But they ask, so many times in the Torah, do we find that the Torah specifies exactly what sin the people did and what punishment they got for the sin that they did. Yet our Gemara, we don't find, as the Mefarshim, to indicate what sin they did. The Pasuk doesn't indicate the sin. It's only our Gemara that indicates the sin. Why does the Pasuk not indicate the sin? So I saw two Torahs. One teretz is because they said such harsh words and such terrible things against Hashem, and the Torah doesn't want to use those words and doesn't want to mention those words that are used against Hashem. But another pshat that I saw from the Sefer Be'er Sheva is that the Torah only mentions sins that we could learn a lesson from. And the Torah mentions the sin and mentions the punishment and teaches us, don't do that sin, because if you're going to do that sin, you're in danger of getting the same punishment as the people who did that sin. But as we're going to learn in our Gemara, as we learned in our Gemara actually, the sin that they did, they can never be duplicated, because as the Pasuk says, that the sin began because the entire world was Safa Achas Udvar Machadim. They all spoke the same language. But once Kisham Fitzab Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dispersed them, Ubala Sfasam, and changed that they don't all speak the same language. So once that happened, we no longer have a concern that that Aveira will be duplicated. So it's only when the Torah is concerned that an Aveira will be duplicated does the Torah mention the Aveira. Not in this circumstance where the Aveira cannot be duplicated. Continues the Gemara. Tanya, Reb Nosson Omer, Kulam Hashem Avodas Kacham Niskavnu. All of them, their intent was to worship Avodah Zarah. Ksiv Hacha, the Pasuk here uses the words Naslan Hashem. V'ksiv hasam v'shem elohim acherim lo yisaskiru. Ma'al ha'alon refers to Avodas Kochavim. Afkan refers to Avodas Kochavim. Continues the Gemara. Am Rabbi Yochanan, this migdol, this tower that they built, shlish nisraf, one third of it was burnt, shlish nivla, one third of it was swallowed up into the ground, and shlish kayim, and a third remained standing. And the morale explained that this corresponds to what we just learned a moment ago, to the three groups that built the tower. The group that tried to attack Hashem was swallowed into the ground, as we find actually later in our shir, that Karech v'Adasai were also swallowed into the ground. The group that wanted to worship Avodah Zarah were burnt and destroyed. as we know, that that is the punishment, as we've learned in our Masechta, for worshipping Avodah Zarah. The group who wanted to live in Shemayim, they weren't so terrible, and that's why that group remains. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Avir Migdol Meshekeyach, if somebody comes to the place where the tower was, he forgets, it's a place where forgetfulness is very common. And as the Yad Ramah explains, Hashem created such a circumstance that that place should be a place that causes people to forget, because Hashem was concerned that perhaps people will come back to that spot and again try to do something like that. So they should recognize if they do that, they're going to end up with the same type of type of situation. They're going to forget, just like those people forgot the language that they spoke. Amrab Yosef, Babel Ubursif, which is where the tower was, are similar Torah, are a bad place for learning, because if somebody, as we just learned, comes there, he's going to forget his learning. My Bursif, what is the definition of the word Bursif? Amrav Asi Ba'or Sha'afi, it's a pit that was empty of its contents. So too, somebody comes there, he's emptied of its contents, he forgets his learning. We learned in the Mishnah that the Anshei Sedoim Ein Lam Chelek Lo'olam Haba. Tanar Abonin, Anshei Sedoim Ein Lam Chelek Lo'olam Haba. The people of Sedoim don't have a share in Olam Haba. Shenemar V'Anshei Sedoim Roim V'Chatoim La'Hashem Ma'od. Roim Ba'olam Hazeh, they got punished in this world, V'Chatoim, and they further get punished Lo'olam Haba. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says Roim B'Gufam, that they were immoral. V'Chatoim, that they did averus B'Memoinim, they had this terrible, these two terrible averus. How do we know that Roim refers to Roim Begufam? Diksiv Vechuras Roag Dola Zois Fechatosil Lakim. The pasuk by Yosef, when he tells the wife of Potiphar that he can't do a moral act with her because that would be considered her Roag Dola. Fechatoim B'Memoinim. The chatoim, we know, refers, says the Gemara, to financial issues. The ksiv, the pasuk says, regarding somebody who refuses to follow Shemitah, which is because of financial concerns, v'hoi b'chachet. Lashem, the pasuk used the words Lashem, zubrechas Hashem, that they rechman slung cursed Hashem. Then the pasuk uses the word me'oid, that's the pshadish shemeskavne v'chaitim, they deliberately sinned. Continues the Gemara, v'masnisa tana, whereas in a braisa we learned roim b'memoinam, just the opposite. Roim means that they did a virus with their money, v'chatoim means that they did a virus b'gufam, that they were doing a moral act. Roim b'memoinam, how do we know the word roim is appropriate to reflect a virus that are done with one's money? Diksiv, the pasuk says that somebody who refuses to give tzedakah, because in that pasuk that Joseph refused to do the avera with the Elisha's Potiphar, the words are used of v'chatosi lelakim. Lashem, in this way they both brises agree that Lashem refers to birkas Hashem. Ma'id, he defines it to mean shvichas damim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'gam dam nofchi shavach minushalai shavach minasha harbe ma'oid. Tanya Rabbanan, continues the Gemara, Anch Sedoim loy nizgau, the people of Sedoim only became arrogant, el b'shul toivish shpilam HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed them with much good, as the pasuk says. Umak sibahem, because what did the pasuk say regarding the people of Sedoim? Eretz v'menu yetzel lechem, a land from which bread comes out. V'tachteh nepach k'mayesh, got burnt. Mokum sphere avaneho, mokum sapi avaneho, a place where the stones are precious. V'afroi zohav loy, and the earth is an earth, and there's gold in that land. Nesiv layada, became a path that even a robber doesn't know. Nobody walks there anymore. No animals, no lion ever travel on it again. And as the Mashah points out, about when, as the pasuk here speaks about the wonderful natural resources that Sdom had. He explains that typically a country that has good agriculture will not have gold and diamonds, or vice versa. Sdom, he points out, had such wonderful blessing that it had both a wonderful agriculture and stones and diamonds and gold. Amru, if we have a country that has such wonderful natural resources, we don't want to have any guest come to our country. Their entire purpose is coming is to deprive us. Let's make sure that no stranger ever comes into our country. Paratz nachal mimgar hanishkochem in a regal dalmanish no. That they forgot about letting people into the city, and that's why they were cursed. Dorish Rava, Maidik Siv, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, at anu tahoisusu, alish turatzchu kulchem, kikir notui, gathered the chirim. That the city, they had these terrible plans where they acted murder, where they committed murder with a leaning wall, with a fence that falls down. Explains the Gemara. Melamed shayinoistim a name babali mammon. When a wealthy guest, and Mepharshim point out that certainly it wasn't something that they did to people who lived in town, it was only to guests who would come to the town. If they saw wealthy guests come to town, they would have him sit next to a leaning wall. And then, they would push the wall down on the guest, and that's how he would die. Buy him the money, and then they would take all his money from him. Dorish Rava, Maidik Siv, the pasuk says, Chotar b'choshech batim, yom echitmu lomay layada or. They make tunnels in the dark. Melamed, shall you notice my name of Bali Mammon? If they saw a wealthy individual, what they would do is, who they assumed had money on him, what they would do would be, they would ask him to hold for them a barrel of perfume. And then at night, when this wealthy individual hid his money, he would also put the barrel of perfume next to his money. When he put away his money, he would put the perfume, hide it away. And then in the evening, they would go bring dogs to sniff out the perfume. And that's how they got their hands on this person's money. They would go find that place, the nightlife of the moment, and take the money from it. The pasuk says in Eiv about the people of Sdom, Orem Yelinu Mlebli Levush, Veng Sus Bekarai. They would leave the person not to have any clothing. Chamar Yisoyim Minogu, Yechabu Shar Amona. They would take the donkey of the orphans and the axe of the widows. Gvurois Yasigu Eide Gozlov Yiro. They would infringe on other people's property and they would steal their animals. For who? Lugfuris Yuval Vagodish Ishkad. Such individual will end up being buried. Darsh Rabbi Yossi B'Tzipari, says the Gemara, the Rabbi Yossi once said this year in Tzipari, where he taught exactly what happened in Sdom, how the Ganovim would get their hands on people's money. Akhtra Hilayla Tlasmei Mechtar B'Tzipari. That night, 300 tunnels were dug in Tzipari. Also, so the people who were stolen from the victims were angry at Rabbi Yossi for saying this in the shir and teaching people how to steal. The Kometzarele, and they were accosting him. Amrle, Yahavas Urchi Leganovi, you're teaching the Ganovim how to steal. Amrle, so Rabbi Yossi responded to them, Miavi Yodor, the Osu Ganvi, was I aware that people here are Ganovim and that by teaching them this, they're going to use this lesson? However, says the Gemara, Kinoch Nafshid Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi passed away, Shafe Marzi the Tzipori Dome, the Tzipori was full of blood. Mepharshim explained what is the lesson here. Because Rashi says that the Gemara has come to teach us that Rabbi Yossi lived in Sapiri, which is something that we know what the pasuk, what is the Gemara coming to teach us. So the Mefarshim explained that the Gemara has come to teach us that here we find that the people of Sapiri were actually angry at Rabbi Yossi for what he did, but they really had no right to be angry at him. On the contrary, they should have realized that Rabbi Yossi's chus is the schus that sustained Sipairi, and to show that it was his schus that sustained Sipairi, when he died, the town of Sipairi, there was blood flowing from the river, blood being the opposite of water. Water represents, the Mashal says, Rachman, and blood represents Din. Amri. So the Gemara continues speaking about Stoim. They had a following rule in Stoim. This Leichat Torah, somebody who owns one axe, Mari Chajoyma, should graze for one day, should take care of the oxen of the city for one day. The Leslo, someone who doesn't own any animals, Little Itreyoyma, he should take care of the animal for 2 days. And of course, as we're going to be learning in our Gemara, all of the actions of the people of the town of Stoim were unjust, but there had to be some logic behind what they were doing. What was the logic here? So Mefarshim explained, they were saying as follows. Somebody who already has animals is busy taking care of the animals. And since he's busy taking care of the animals, he only has limited time, and therefore he should take care of the animals only for one day. Whereas somebody who doesn't have animals, so he has more free time, and since he has more free time, he should be responsible to take care of animals for 2 days. Says the Gemara, Hahu Yosim Bar Amalta. There was an individual in Stoim who was an orphan, the son of a widow. Havei Tori Lamari. He didn't have any of his own oxen, obviously being very poor. So the people of Tzipari gave him their oxen to take care of. Ozo Shaklin Vekatlinu. So this orphan went and killed the animals. Amalu, so they said to him, and he said to them, this late Torah, somebody who owned one axe, Nishkol Chad Mashka, should take skin skin of one axe. The less late Torah, but somebody who didn't own any axen, Nishkol Trey Mashki, he's entitled to two skins. Amalu, so the people of Tzipori asked him, my hai, why? What's your thinking? Amalu, so he responded to them, Soifdina Kitchilstina. The people, when the animals die, they should be treated like when they have to be taken care of. Matchilstina, as we just learned, that the rule in Sapai regarding taking care of animals was this late Tayr Mari Khajima, somebody who owns animals only has to take care of them for one day, the animals of town. The less late Torah, but someone who didn't own any animals, Mari Trey Yoyma, has to take care of the animals for 2 days. I've saved in the so too, when the animals die, the same rule ought to apply, he said. This late Torah, Chad Torah, somebody who had one animal, Lishka Chad, should take one skin. The less late Torah, someone who has no animals, Lishka Trey, should be entitled to two. Furthermore, they had a rule in Stoim. The other, B'mavra, somebody who travels over the river, Nesef Chadzuza, travels on a boat, should pay one zuz. The Loy Avra B'mavra, someone who didn't travel, who walked through the water, Nesef Trey, should have to pay two. Again, what was their thinking? Because the person who walked through the water took water out of the river or the pond, whatever it is, and therefore he has to reimburse that water that was taken. They had another rule. They had another terrible custom. The Havle Dora de Livni. If someone had a row of bricks, Osikol Chad V'Chad Shokol Chada, every person's time just took one brick, which wasn't really very valuable. And Amalei, when they were confronted, they said, Anoch Chada de Shakli, we only took one brick. Similarly, Davishad Tamir Shumki, if somebody put out garlic or onions to dry in the sun, Os Kochad V'Chad Shokol Chada, everybody took only one garlic or one onion, again, not worth a pruta, Amalei, and when he confronted, they said, Ano Chad Shakli, we only took one. which actually the Minchas Chinuch has a very interesting discussion. He asks, indeed, what is the halacha if somebody had a terrible habit of, and Feist can say this could happen, let's say somebody walks by a store, and every time he walks by the store, he takes a couple of nuts or he takes a couple of grapes that aren't even worth a pruta, let's say. So as far as Hilchus Geneva concerned, he really hasn't stolen a pruta. And we know that less than a pruta, one doesn't have to return what he stole. But here that person had this terrible habit of him doing this on a regular basis. And if you combine all of the times that he has done it, we do have that he stole a shava pruta. What is the halacha? Must he return? Does he have a chiyuv of a heshiv as a gezeila or not? So the Minchas Chinuch discusses, when we say that if somebody stole less than a pruta, what is the reason that he doesn't have to return it? Is it because when it's less than a pruta, we assume that the person who was stolen from is meichel if it's less than a pruta? Or do we say that if it's less than a pruta, it doesn't have the shear? What would be the nafkamina? Says the Minchas Chinuch. Exactly our situation. If it's a question of shear, and here we're not talking about eating, where there's a concept that you have to eat a shear within a certain time period, the halacha would be, if he stole a half a pruta today and half a pruta tomorrow, so now he stole a shear, a pruta, and he has an obligation to return it. He has a full-fledged chiv hashava. If, on the other hand, we say that every time he stole less than a pruta, the victim was meichel him, because every act independently was a maisa geneva of less than a pruta, then the halacha would be that he doesn't have to return what he stole, that he doesn't have to return it because it was a constant mechila. On the other hand, he points out that if the issue is mechila, then let's say somebody stole from a katan who doesn't have the halachic ability to be meichel, or let's say somebody stole and the victim is not aware that he was stolen from, so he doesn't have the ability to be meichel, so then he would have to return even if he stole less than a pruta. Continues the Gemara. Abba dayonim ha'yu b'stoim. There were four dayonim b'stoim, and as the Mefarshim point out, even though, as we've learned so many times in our Masechta, a Bezdin should not have an even number of dayonim, in stoim you can have an even number of dayonim and a court, because they were all equally corrupt. And what were their names? Says the Gemara, Shakroi v'Shakroi, Zayfe or Matzli Dina. The Machle l'Itis of the Chavri. If somebody hit somebody else's wife or Maplala and caused her to miscarry, Amrlai, they would say, you know what should be done? Yavin Nevelay, the attacker should receive this woman and have relations with her. The Nabi Nilach, he should get her pregnant to make up the miscarriage. The Pasnalei L'Udna D'Chamre D'Chamre, if somebody cut off someone else's donkey's ear, Armalei Havanelei, give it to the attacker, add the Kotka until the ear grows back. The Paralei L'Chavra, if somebody wounded someone else, Armalei Havlei Agra, you should pay him for attacking you, the Shaklach Dhamma. As we know, in their times, it was very common to let blood, Hakazas Adam. So it says, you have to pay the attacker because he let your blood. The Avra B'Mavra, somebody crosses the river on a boat, you have Abazuzi. The Avra B'Maya, somebody who walked there, as we learned before, has to pay double, you have Tamnizuzi because he used up the water. Zimnachad, Asahu Kaivis. At one time, there was a person, a launderer, came to the town of Stoim, and he wasn't aware of their customs. Ikala Hassam. He came there. Amrle, have Abizuze, pay for crossing on the boat for Zuz. Amrlu, so he said to them, Anab Maimabra, I walked. Amrle, so they said to him, oh, you walked? And can't have Tamnia, so you have to give 8 Zuz. The Avra B'Maya, because you crossed our water, and we just learned that the rule was that if you crossed the water by foot, you had to pay double. Loyov, so he refused to give it. Pajua, so they beat him. So now he comes to the judges. So he says, besides that you have to pay for crossing the river, you also have to pay Havle Agra to Shakal Chatama. You have to pay your attacker for letting your blood. The Tamna Zuzi, and you also still owe 8 Zuz because the Avit Bemaya, because you walked across the river. Eliezer Eved Avram is Srami Hassam. Eliezer the Eved Avram once came to Stoim. Pedua. So they assaulted him. Asal Kamedaina. And Eliezer comes to the Dain. Amle Havle Agra. So, as was their custom, the judges told him, you have to pay the Shakal Kdama because he let blood. Shakal Glola. So Eliezer took a stick. Pedua Ihu. And he attacked the judge. Pedua Ihu Dayona. He attacked the judge. Amma my high. So the judge asked him, what's going on here? Amra, like, so Eliezer responded, Agra the Nafik Lach Minaf, the money that you now owe me, have nile. Now you should go and pay my original tackle, for Zuzi the Dei Kidikai Mekai, and I will have all the money that I began with. And the Farshim say, of course, normally, one certainly may not do this only in a situation such as Stoim, which was such a corrupt environment, were they allowed to do this. Another story regarding Eliezer in Stoim. Havle Paraisa. In Stoim they had the following bed. Davde Magna Le Orchen, that they used to have the guest sleep on that bed. Kimarach, if the guest was tall and his feet stuck out of the bed, Geiselay, they would cut off his feet. Kigoitz, if the guest was short and his feet didn't reach till the end of the bed, maschenle, they would stretch his feet. Eliezer Eved Avram Ikla Hassan. Eliezer comes to that city, and he Amrle, and they invite him to Kum Kani Aporya, to lay sleep on the bed. Amon, so he said, Nidri Nadri, I made the following nether, Minyami the Mises Imole Ganein Aporya. From the day that my mother passed away, I don't sleep in a bed. And as the Gra explains, what's he mentioning his mother? We know that a mother represents Rachmanis. And he says, in your town, mothers are dead. In your town, there's no Rachmanis. Says the Gemara, Kihavim Misramalei Anya, when a poor person would come to town, Yavalei Kolchad V'chadinra, everybody would give him a coin for charity. What they would do is, they would ksiv shmeolai, they would write their names on the coin that they gave this poor person. And when the poor person would want to take the coins to buy bread with it, no one would sell him any bread. So when he died of hunger, each one of the people would now go back and shakal the day, take the coin that had his name on them. Continues the Gemara. Hachi asna benayu. The Stoimim had the following stipulation amongst themselves. Kol man de mazm gavel behilula, whoever invites a guest to a wedding, lishlach galima, they'll take away his garment. Have a hayalula. So there was once a wedding in Sodom. Ikla Eliezer lahosun. And Eliezer comes to this wedding. V'lo yav le'nama. And everyone is refusing to give him any bread. Kibayla ma'isud. He, however, wanted to eat. Also Eliezer, v'yosel seif the kula. So Eliezer sat at the end of the table. Amalei. So they sat down, so the person sitting next to him asked him, Man Azman Lahacha, who invited you here? Am Layla Huda Yosef. So he said to the person sitting next to him, Atan Zanamtim, you were the one that invited me. Hearing this, he got scared that they're going to take away his garment. Amar Dimashmili Danozmanti, if people were here as if I invited a guest, Umishlach Lamani Dahai Gavra, they're going to take away my garment from me. Shaka Glima Huda Yosef Gabei. So he wanted to save himself. He said, "Virad levra." He ran outside, and so did Eliezer do to all the people. The king of Lakula, Eliezer moved to the next person, had the same conversation, and the person ran away. Adenafka kula, until everybody ran out of the room. Vachlilu sedusa, and Eliezer ate the meal. He was allowed to eat the meal. The mafarshim say because obviously the people were all miyash from the food, and it wasn't considered gezeila. Continues the Gemara. Havahi ripsa. There was a young girl that would come mafka riftal anya bechatzpa. She would secretly bring poor people food in her pitcher. Igloy milsa, the stoyim became aware what she did. Shafiu dovsha, they covered her with honey. Vekmu al egel shura, and they put her on the top of the wall. Also the bura vachlo, and the bees came and attacked her because she was covered with honey. Vani the ksiv, and says the pasuk. Vayoyim Hashem zakas stoyim v'amar kiraba. V'amar Yehuda amarav al iski riba. It all came about because of this riba, this girl who was attacked. So ask the Alta from Slobodka. Here we find that the people of Stoyim were murderers. So he asks, why does the Mishnah and Pirkei Avos say Shali Shali Shalcha Shalcha Zumida Sedoyim, when the Mishnah should have said that Stoyim represents a lot worse? Stoyim represents that they were murderers. So he answers that one starts with bad midas, one begins with terrible character traits, it leads to the worst, it leads even to murder. Says the Gemara, Meraglim elam chelk elam haba. Meraglim don't have a chelk elam haba. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, V'yemusu anoshim metzi dibas ra, dibas aretz ra b'magefa, V'yemusu b'olam hazeh b'magefa l'olam haba. And as Mepharshim explained, how is this indicated in the pasuk? Because all the pasuk was coming to teach us was that they had a regular death. It should have said V'yemusu b'magefa hanoshim. The people died in a magefa. The fact that the pasuk uses the word v'yemusu at the beginning of the pasuk and the word magefa at the end of the pasuk seems to indicate that they represent two different things. V'yemusu refers to olam hazeh, magefa to olam haba. Continues the Gemara, Adas koyrach elam chelak olam haba. Shenema v'tchas aleim ha'oretz b'olam hazeh v'yoyv d'metoich ha'kol l'olam haba. Devar Rebbe Kiva. According to Rebbe Kiva, that they don't have a share in olam haba. Rebeleza Omer, Aleim Omer Akosiv, Hashem Memus Mechaya, Moirud Shaul Vioil. Tan Rabbonin, Adas Kerch Elam Chelik Elam Habosh, Shenemar, Vitchas Aleim As Oretz, Bolam Hazeh, Vioidim Kerch Akol Elam Habosh, Divir Bekiva, Vudim Ser Omer, Harein Kaveda Miskapeshis. That's like something that's lost, but it's being searched for. Shenemar, because to isi kaseh oivid, I'm like a lost sheep. Bakish avdecha kimitzasecha lo shechachti. V'yikach koirach. So the Gemara begins to speak about koirach. Amrish lokish. What does it mean? V'yikach koirach. Lokach mekach ra'al atzmai. He took a bad deal. And as Mepharshim say, the Torah at the beginning, the Torah in Parshas Bereishis does not use the word toiv on the second day, on Yom HaSheni. Why? Because that was the day where the upper and lower waters were split. And Machloikis, you can't use the word Toiv. Machloikis represents Ra. Kairach, Shanasa Karcha B'Yisrael. He split Klai Yisrael, he made a Machloikis. Ben Yitzer, Ben Shatiach Olav, as Kol Olam Kutzerayim. He got the entire world angry, like the sun burns in the middle of the day. Ben Kahas, Ben Shehika Shnei Melidov, he embarrassed the people who had him. Ben Levi, Ben Shanas Levi B'Gehenim, he ended up in Gehenim. Ask the Gemara V'lech Shanami Ben Yaakov, says the Gemara, and will be able to explain that it means Ben She'okvats Mel Gehenim, that he followed himself into Gehenim. Omer, so why isn't Yaakov Avinu's name mentioned? Answers the Gemara, Omer Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak, Yaakov Bikish Rachman Al Atzmai, Shenamar, Besoidem Al Tov Nafshi, Bekoholim Al Ticha Kvoidi, Besoidem Al Tov Nafshi El Meraglim, Yaakov Avinu asked Hashem that his name should not be mentioned by the Chet Meraglim, Bekoholim Al Ticha Kvoidi, Zadas Koyruch. Dova, Dosen, what's Dosen Aviram? Shaval Das Kael. He went against Hashem's messenger, he went against Moshe Rabbeinu. Aviram, she even atzoim asos tshuva, he refused to do tshuva. V'oin, she yoshev ben aninus. He was upset, because as we learned that he, oin ben pelos, even though as we're going to learn, didn't ultimately stay with Koirich, but he was upset himself why he even joined them in the first place. Pelos, shenasin la plus, that a tremendous miracle happened for him, that he saved himself from being part of this group. Ben, B'nai Ruvain, Ben Shira V'Haven, he understood as his wife pointed out to him, it doesn't pay for him to be part of Didas Kairach.